You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
We're here at the Lake Wissota studio. It's cloudy, but it's getting brighter out there. Nothing like the storm that was going through around 2 a.m., which then made its way to central Wisconsin and continues on the warpath here. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot joins us right off the top to talk about that and then what's coming up a little bit later, which could be a little stronger, louder, attention-grabbing, if nothing else. So she'll be tracking that throughout the day, so you should be listening for updates throughout the day. But Brittany, where's the current activity right about now?
Absolutely. So what we've got going on right now is those rain still coming down, some frequent lightning, actually cloud to ground with some big rolls of thunder going on right now into Wausau, moving towards Antigo. And also there's a storm right now that's got some pea-sized hail into Appleton and rolling up I-41 towards Green Bay. So heads up for that. It's not severe warned. Nothing is at the moment. This is just our heads up round as the warm front moves into the state. So what we've got going on this afternoon is it's going to be breezy. Winds are going to be pulling out of the south, warming us up. They're going to be gusting around 30 to 40 miles per hour. It's going to get muggy. It's going to get pretty humid in some places, especially west and south. And we are looking at temperatures hitting into the 80s for the southern parts of the state, probably some 60s up north. And of course, this afternoon, if any thunderstorm, especially if it's all alone, isolated by itself, if that sparks around 2, 3, 4 o'clock this afternoon, keep an eye on it. Those have the potential to rapidly turn severe, bringing large hail, high wind gusts, and the environment is perfect for a tornado today. We're probably going to see some tornado watches going out. That means just be ready. The conditions are right. I'm telling you right now that they are. And if a tornado warning goes out, that means that it's actually seen by someone, a tornado is on the ground, or it is seen on radar, where we're seeing strong winds in a small area coming at the radar and away from it. So that pretty much signifies a twister out there. So if you have a tornado warning in your area throughout this evening or even into the overnight, you need to have a heads up because we have multiple waves of storms going through. Only the first round starts in the afternoon. We've got a cold front that still moves through this evening, probably around 6 o'clock, starting far northwest, moving its way through central areas through the evening after dark. And this line, too, could have tornadoes embedded in it, which would be rain-wrapped. You wouldn't see them anyways because it's dark. Hail, large hail is expected with this one, and also some wind gusts up to 70 miles per hour are possible. So we've got a lot going on. I mean, you can feel it out there today. It's so warm and so muggy so rapidly. These are all the ingredients for these strong storms. And in fact, the Storm Prediction Center has put a good chunk of Wisconsin in the bullseye in a moderate risk, which is a 4 out of 5 on that risk scale. So it doesn't get much worse, really. So we really need to keep a heads up. And the entire state is at least in an enhanced risk. It does lessen a little bit as we move away from central Wisconsin into eastern areas. So hopefully those storms will weaken as they move through and move east. But otherwise, I would just keep an eye out everywhere today because we could have a regional outbreak.
Yeah, just pay attention. That's all we're telling you today. Yep. Is this would not be the way. We don't want anybody afterwards going, I had no idea. This was exactly. It's not going to sneak up on us today, not with these conditions out there.
No.
All right, Brittany, thank you very much. Have a great day. We'll talk to you a little later. Oh, wait, before I let you go, Dana in La Crosse on the text line. Do we know which direction the strongest winds will be coming from?
Are we talking about just today? Those will be out of the south. If we're talking about in a storm, the storm is going to be moving from west to east, probably moving at about 50 miles per hour in those lines coming through.
Okay. So south and west, you want to be mindful of.
Yes.
Okay. I don't know if they're moving patio furniture or just want to know where to be in the basement, but we wanted to answer that question from Dana. All right. Thanks,
Good
Brittany.
Question.
Appreciate it
You're
very
welcome.
Much. Hey, you can sign up for our, Robin Tigerton, by the way, also notes heavy rain and pea-sized hail in Tigerton around 7:50 this morning. So again, Don't take anything for granted out here. You can sign up for our daily newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the banner at the top of the homepage, and you will be put on board our weekday morning newsletter that Christina Laurie puts together, full of stories, including one today about farmers markets that will be opening soon around Wisconsin. But we also have a monthly newsletter about Wisconsin sports, some of the good positive stories behind Wisconsin sports. That's about once a month from Christina. And then I put together a newsletter that comes out on Sunday mornings with a focus on Wisconsin politics that you can get as well. And of course, we had yesterday's issue all about the arrest by Donald Trump's FBI of Milwaukee County Circuit Judge Hannah Dugan on Friday morning on felony charges, claiming that she intentionally misdirected federal agents away from an undocumented immigrant that they were trying to arrest at her courthouse on April 18th. Now, this is the latest in a two-part power play by Donald Trump against the judicial system. He is seeking to not be held accountable by judges who rule against some of his actions, I mean, defying even the U.S. Supreme Court at times. And at the same time, he is seeking to intimidate judges and others in the legal system who are trying to maintain an independent and co-equal branch of government. Federal officers have repeatedly been coming to local courthouses to take alleged undocumented immigrants into custody, and it's a practice that's been criticized by judges and others who note the dangers to public safety. Not just any disturbance inside of a courthouse, for example, but the fear as well that people will just stop showing up when they've been charged with crimes and become fugitives, and the people who will not report crimes for fear that they will be arrested and deported. And frankly, that's something that would affect all of us if the only witness to a crime that affected us were an undocumented immigrant. So Judge Dugan was angered that federal agents were once again crowding the courthouse hallway, causing disruptions in the court calendar, including a case for Eduardo Flores Ruiz, an undocumented immigrant who was in court as part of a fight with his roommate over music volume. And federal agents showed up believing that he was an undocumented immigrant and wanted to arrest him. We're all there in the hallway. The judge, Dugan, instructed Flores Ruiz to use a different door to still exit into the public hallway. For whatever reason, the agents did not make an arrest right away. They simply watched as Flores Ruiz walked into an elevator and out of the building. Agents approached him outside the courthouse. He tried to run away and was taken into custody. But for folks who are telling you that the judge is leading him like some secret elevator through some secret door and out into the street, and she held his hand and helped him across the street and everything else, no. There's the door. Use it. Go out into that public hallway. I've got a courtroom to run here. The reaction was swift from both sides of the partisan aisle, Democrats calling it, you know, an overreach, gravely serious, weaponizing law enforcement. Republicans, meanwhile, say that they may attempt to remove Judge Dugan from office. And in doing so, those Republicans would simply assist Trump with his intimidation campaign against judges. So it's a story we will continue to follow here on Civic Media and, of course, over at Up North News as well. 8:14, quick check of sports here. The Brewers were winners, snapping that four-game losing streak by finally beating the St. Louis Cardinals yesterday 7-1. Christian Yelich had two hits, two RBIs. Jackson Churio, two hits. Jose Quintana struck out six over five innings, allowing one run on five hits, and he becomes the first Brewer pitcher to win his first four starts with the team since CC Sabathia in 2008. The Brewers are off today. They are on the south side of Chicago tomorrow to play the White Sox. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, they are back home against the Cubs starting on Friday. The Milwaukee Bucks are on the verge of another humiliating first-round playoff elimination at the hands of the Indiana Pacers. They lost 129-103 last night to go down 3-1 to Indiana. Dame Lillard went out with what is feared to be an injured Achilles. Game 5 is the early evening game tomorrow in Indianapolis. So there are plenty of concerns that this American economy is either on the verge of a recession or is there? And of course, you don't know a recession the moment it hits. It's a backward looking statistic. You have to have like a quarter or two of negative growth before it's officially called a recession. Maybe we're there already. I mean, there are ports in this country normally teeming with ships bringing in goods from China. Those ports are nearly empty, according to some reports. That's going to lead to empty store shelves. What happens if a recession does hit, especially as we've all been watching retirement, or as soon as we've been watching Wall Street? What does this mean for your retirement? We've talked to Sean O'Malley in the past with his work as a compliance officer on Wall Street, but he also works in financial planning, and we asked him to come back and talk to us a bit about protecting your nest egg as well. Sean, welcome back. How are you?
Thanks for having me back, Pat. Doing well. Just crossing my fingers with the weather forecast. See what Brittany can do for some good weather here in western Wisconsin.
We are definitely hoping for that. So, look, it's always tough. We were updating our finances over the weekend and watching how much things had gone down from January 1st to March 31st to the end of the quarter. Again, every individual is different, but from a 30,000 foot level, what's your advice, especially to folks, approaching approaching retirement, about minimizing the damage to that nest egg if the economy takes a downturn?
Yeah, that's a concern that I think a lot of Americans have, given the sort of overall uncertainty right now, and that's certainly reflected in how consumers are approaching the marketplace. Consumer confidence is at its lowest in 12 years. So people are not feeling comfortable. And we're seeing this reflected in a lot of different ways. People are changing their buying patterns, spending patterns. And yes, there's also the very real concern of what's the ultimate impact going to be of the tariffs, particularly when you look at the tariffs that we're dealing with against China, where you're talking 145%. So there's a lot of uncertainty out there. There are a lot of unknowns. My best advice for the personal investor is, when you don't see any good opportunities to buy something, go with something that is basically as conservative as possible. I'm a big advocate for money market funds. When you're just not really sure or comfortable that it's a good time to get into stocks necessarily, I would say there's a lot of volatility there. There are a lot of unknowns. We don't know, especially if we do wind up going into a recession, which, as you correctly point out, is always a backwards looking measure. But a lot of the tariffs seem to be setting up an environment where the likelihood of recession has increased. And if you look at most of the forecasts on the big, from the big houses on Wall Street, that number has gone from single digits, maybe 10%, up to 45, 50, in some cases 60% for a recession this year. So not a great time to buy stocks. Unfortunately, also not a great time to buy bonds either. You're seeing demand for American assets really go down across the board internationally. And so what's happening is that there are fewer buyers for American Treasury bonds and corporate bonds. A lot of the foreign countries are sort of shying away from American assets in general, which is, of course, driving up the yields. As yields go up, prices go down. But will prices continue to go down, or will they come back up? And that's the question mark. And you don't want to gamble.
Right. It gets to that expression, never try to catch a falling knife. Sean O'Malley is with us right now. Still ahead this hour, Senator Kel DeRoy is on a bill about protecting women's most private health care decisions. And Jane Mattner on the way as well. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome Well, we certainly get the positive and the negative in the old comment section here. First, we've got one person saying they love the show. What's the text line number? Well, you can call or text the show at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can also use the Civic Media app to text or call into the program. And, of course, you can put something in the comment section on Facebook or YouTube. We're on the Up North News Facebook page and the Civic Media Facebook page, the Up North News YouTube page, and now the Civic Media YouTube page as well. And that's led to comments like, well, again, from Tim, first-time listener, love it. What's the text line number? Thank you, Tim. And then there's these two. There's one that says, liberals love illegal criminals. And then another one says, more whining from the increasingly unhinged left. And as usual, devoid of facts or even of all information, this is why everyone hates the left, because they don't deserve it. Gentlemen, less typey-typey, more listening, please. Nobody's advocating for illegal criminals. Let's get back to the facts again of what we're facing in our economic situation with Sean O'Malley. And we've been talking a bit about personal finances before we turn back to the general economy at large. And Sean, as you were saying before the break, I mean, there's not a lot of safe harbors, but you can try to steer people toward, you know, the closest thing that we can find to them. And when you talk about, you know, this isn't really a great buying opportunity, and yet there are people that do try to do it. And that's why I mentioned that phrase, you know, don't try to catch a falling knife.
Right.
For folks that haven't heard that, tell us why that's actually pretty good financial advice.
It's excellent financial advice, Pat. And one of the main reasons is that no one can time the market. People who try to time the market are those who often wind up at least getting suboptimal performance, or at least not as good a performance as they would get as if they just bought a particular, say, you know, broad market index fund like an S&P 500 index fund and just left it alone. If you're going in and out, you're going to wind up losing a lot of opportunities. There was a study done a number of years ago that said, compared the performance of something like the S&P 500, in this case it was the S&P 500, and if you'd missed the 25 best days and what the difference would be in your returns. And it was a huge, huge difference, as you might expect. So the set it and forget it mentality is, I think, important, especially in times of uncertainty. I'm getting personal texts and calls from, you know, friends who look to me for advice saying, what should I do? I'm worried that we're down. And my advice is, you know, at this point, you are where you are, just ride it out. If you have new money coming in, that's when I was suggesting, you know, go more money market. Don't necessarily try to catch that falling knife, because it can cut you for sure. And it does a lot of investors.
And that too is where, in talking to folks, I've kind of said the same thing. I'm like, look, I have every intention of outliving Donald Trump and whatever this is, this chaos that he's brought. And all of us who are going to outlive this will reap the benefits in the long run. It is going to be very stressful to look at things on a day-to-day basis. Now, we do it as part of, you know, the daily news, but that's different than a long-term financial strategy. But to come back to the daily news for a moment, I mentioned the reports of, you know, severely decreased traffic in our ports, and you were noting to me that, you know, just from a corporate standpoint alone, places like, you know, auto manufacturers are starting to make adjustments as well.
Yeah, that's correct. We've seen the first major decision from an international automaker, in this case Subaru. They have a large facility in Indiana. They're looking primarily at the Outback vehicle in this, but a lot of the vehicles made at that Indiana plant are sold to Canada. Unfortunately, now, due to the tariffs that Trump put on Canada of 25% and the reciprocal tariffs that Canada has now put on US-made vehicles going into Canada of also 25%, Subaru has decided that rather than having Canadian sold vehicles be US made, they're going to take Japanese made Subaru Outbacks and ship those to Canada to be sold in Canada to avoid the punitive 25% tariff.
We've also seen as well that states have been fighting back on this and have been filing lawsuits. Businesses have been doing the same. So, again, this is something Trump has been trying to do unilaterally with a Congress that is either complicit or non-existent. But if you're going to try to follow all of the comings and goings of these tariffs and these budget cuts, you'd have to watch a whole lot of courthouses as well. So, I mean, it really does, again, say, stay up to date on things, but you can't, you just can't overmanage or micromanage or over-worry this thing. It just know that it's not great, but that, again, thankfully we've got some general advice like what you're giving, and hope you don't mind stopping in on a few more Mondays now and then, and before the opening bell, we'll find out what you're thinking as we head into things.
Yeah, be my pleasure. Absolutely. One thing to keep in mind for this week to watch out for is the non-farm payroll number, which comes out 8:30 every Friday, Eastern Standard Time. That's going to be a good indicator of what's going on with the jobs market. So we'll be stay tuned to that for this Friday, and we can chat about it on Monday.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Sean O'Malley, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Have a good start to the week.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, coming up just ahead here, we're going to have Senator Kelda Royce talking about a bill or bills that aren't necessarily going to pass the legislature, but it's important that they be introduced anyway so that people know who is fighting for their health care rights and some of the most personal decisions that they make. And then a little bit later, Jane Mattenair will be here to tell us what to expect on Mattenair on Air in its new time slot from 9 to 11 right after our program here. And, of course, a reminder, sign up for those newsletters, plural, at our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com. Live from Lake Wissota, what a great place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 8:35 now, the time. And again, a reminder that Jane Mattenair will be along next to tell us what's coming up on Mattenair on Air. And we have Dan Schaefer with us here tomorrow, along with Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich. In our newsletter, sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. There includes an article about all the farmers markets that you can find around Wisconsin, many that will be opening soon. And some of the biggest ones that you might want to put on your road trip bucket list, perhaps none more so than the one in the district of our next guest here, State Senator Kelda Royce, who joins us from up in the Hayward area where the Joint Finance Committee is going to be meeting to talk about the state budget. So we're going to talk about the state budget. We're going to talk about women's health. But since we were just talking about farmers markets and your backyard, we're going to first say good morning to Kelda and talk about how envious we are that that big old market that wraps all around the state capitol building is right there in your backyard.
It is a must do, and it's always so much fun to go, even with my kids who run around like crazy people and just demand sweets.
You know what? I run around there like a crazy person. Not for the sweets so much, but for the spicy cheese bread. That's
yeah,
there.
And the fresh cheese curds. I mean, there's just so many great things there.
It's just amazing. Okay, well, let's start on a very serious topic here, and then we're going to get to joint finance and to women's health. But this politically motivated arrest of a Milwaukee County judge on Friday perhaps might have been an even bigger splash publicly if it weren't for a Friday. But I don't think that the anger over it is going to be dissipating. I think it's only going to grow as more people, especially those who are Republican leaning, go, this is not what they say it is. This is something that's not cool, arresting a judge. And that's the most flippant way I can put it, saying it's not cool. It's serious, Kelda.
It's very serious. I mean, as an attorney, I read the criminal complaint, so-called complaint from the FBI agent, and there's really nothing there. They didn't like that she was angry that they were showing up in her courtroom to try to arrest and deport someone who was appearing there. I mean, we all have an interest in society in people being willing to come to court. if you have been victimized, if you are a witness and you need to testify against somebody in a criminal trial, if you need to show up to court for family law, everybody deserves to be able to have their day in court. And that includes people who are immigrants, whether they're documented or not. And to turn the courthouse into a place where people are getting arrested and judges who are trying to administer justice are being hauled off in handcuffs in an attempt to intimidate them, that is very scary. That is, you know, one of the clearest signals we have that they are marching full bore towards authoritarianism.
And to second that notion, not just the authoritarianism, but the intimidation, it's not as if they don't know where a lot of these folks are or have been. They may see that they are in court records. And even then, they could certainly try to, you know, arrest them outside of the courthouse. But to do this right outside a judge's chamber, right outside a courtroom, can't be interpreted any other way than an authoritarian intimidation tactic.
Absolutely. And as Ann Jacobs pointed out, the door that they went through went to a public hallway. And one of the agents actually rode the elevator with the person, but didn't arrest him in the elevator. Yeah. And, you know, they kind of manufactured this situation because they wanted to make an example of her. And I think it has a lot to do with also deflecting attention from the fact that they have deported numerous children, United States citizens, babies, some of whom are suffering from cancer. And they just put them on a plane to another country with no medication and no support.
It is the things that we're going to continue to learn. But again, you have these kinds of diversions. And frankly, it was reading the interpretation from Ann Jacobs, who's the chair of the Wisconsin Elections Commission and just a top-notch lawyer. And you read through that and you realize, I'm not going to say it was a setup, but, and let me hasten to add one thing here. When people go, oh, it's Democrats, you don't mind it, they could do anything. No, there are things that this judge or any other judge could be doing where we would say, no, you may not have liked the situation, but you can't do that. But pointing somebody toward a door that didn't continue to cause the chaos outside her courthouse, you know, that just takes things to a whole different level, which is why we wanted to have the discussion that we did. Let's cover while you're up in Hayward and Wausau as a member of the Joint Finance Committee, going over the state budget where people can again have their public input. I'm sure you expect a busy day. What are you expecting to hear?
Well, I'm expecting to hear from people all over northern Wisconsin about how important it is for us to be funding our K-12 public schools. We know that Republicans have put our public schools and our kids on a starvation diet for 15 years. Meanwhile, they've been shoveling massive tax breaks to millionaires and billionaires and taking money out of the public school system to put it into private, unaccountable voucher schools. People are mad all over the state when they talk about what it means for their kids to have these underfunded schools, what it's doing to our teachers, and it's causing a crisis in education. People are also concerned about childcare, very concerned about potential cuts to Badger Care, and of course, all the chaos and corruption and fiscal mismanagement that we see from the public administration.
And so if folks want to, if they can't be in Hayward today or Wausau tomorrow, we've mentioned this several times, there is an email address that you can use to give legislators on the Joint Finance Committee your input. And it goes like this, budget.comments@legis, L-E-G-I-S for legislature, legis.wisconsin.gov. One more time, budget.comments@legis.wisconsin.gov. Kelda, as a state senator for you, former state senator to me, you and I both know those emails do not go into a black hole. There is significance in letting people know, letting legislators know what you think.
Absolutely. And in the aggregate, you know, it's very, very clear to see what people care about and what they want our state government to fund, and that Republicans haven't been doing it.
No, and sometimes, not necessarily on a dime, but sometimes you see a change of heart or a change in position. And I would point toward the recent vote in the state Senate overwhelmingly to extend postpartum care, postpartum Medicaid coverage to women for 12 months postpartum, not just 60 days. Now, there's still an uphill battle to get it past Speaker Voss in the Assembly. So we can talk about the merits of the issue, but I guess just from the standpoint of there are still things that, you know, can become increasingly bipartisan if people continue to know what they think their lawmakers should be doing, they can make a difference.
That's absolutely right. I mean, and, you know, several years ago, you really didn't have Republicans standing up for new moms on Badger Care. They were fine to let let our state kick new moms off 60 days after giving birth. But over time, I think the public pressure has grown so great. I mean, it's so cruel. And we have kind of a third world infant and maternal mortality rate, driven in large part by the lack of healthcare and health insurance coverage for new moms, especially low-income new moms who often have to go right back to work with no leave. And over time, the Republicans have responded to that pressure. But it remains to be seen whether they're willing to actually stand up for their convictions, stand up for these new moms, or they're just going to let the speaker continue to block it and hide behind him. And there are two ways that they could pass this bill, even over the speaker's objections. The first is they could put it in the budget. They don't need a single assembly Republican. They have all the Senate Democratic votes and assembly Democratic votes and every Senate Republican who already voted for it. We could put it in the budget today. Well, not today because we're not voting, but we could certainly keep it in the budget. The other thing they could do is they could try to pull the bill in the assembly onto the floor out of committee. Now they would have to break ranks and they would have to say, no, Voss, this is more important than your power plays. And it remains to be seen whether Republicans are willing to do that.
This is, something that I first heard about last week, and I think from you or somebody quoting you about the whole notion of just put it in the budget bill. And by the way, for folks who go, oh, no, the Republicans, they always strip all policy out of the budget bill. No, they don't. They strip out the policy they don't like.
Right.
This is something that still could very easily go in the budget bill. And it would be a great way for Republicans on the Joint Finance Committee who want to just send a little message to Robin Voss saying, this is so overwhelmingly bipartisan that, we're not letting you wield all the power on this one.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about the bill that would remove abortion care restrictions, restore health care rights in Wisconsin. What's in the legislation that you and others have introduced?
We just launched the Abortion Rights Restoration Act, and this bill does a number of really important things. Number one, it puts into state statute that you and I all have a right to bodily autonomy. We get to make our own healthcare decisions, including abortion. Number two, it repeals that horrible 1849 law that bans virtually all abortion in the state. And number three, it repeals a lot of the Walker-era restrictions that made abortion so difficult for people to get, so burdensome and so much more expensive that even under Roe v. Wade, many women did not functionally have the true right to access abortion. So it does all those three things and basically says there's never a circumstance, there's never a time when a politician knows better than you and your doctor what's best for you and your life and your circumstances.
Now, this is, again, a case of a bill that I'm going to safely predict is not going to be passed into law.
Oh,
and
Pat.
Yet, I know, I'm such a negative Nancy. But there's a reason why you still introduce things like these. So allow me to put that ball on the tee. Why even put these bills in the hopper?
Because I think it's really important for the voters who elected us and handed Democrats enormous victories in the legislature to know that we're fighting for them. We're not giving up on this issue. We also need to put pressure on these Republicans. You know, abortion is popular. It's way more popular than the Republican Party right now. 81% of people want this to be a private decision between a patient and a doctor, not a political one where you've got Republican politicians inserting themselves. So their position is deeply unpopular, and I think it's up to us to force the issue and make them talk about it. Within 24 hours of releasing that bill, we had one state rep put out a really unhinged press release attacking me and comparing abortion rights to the Holocaust and people who have abortions to Hitler. I mean, it was crazy, unhinged, and I think it's important that people see that, because it does inform how active they are and their voting decision.
And you do see this in floor debates. I know that Dr. Kristen Lierley and I, 2 years ago in the budget, during the floor debate, we brought up these excerpts from Republicans. You know, one of them said, well, as a veterinarian, I know more about the biology of birth than almost anybody in this chamber, and other similar ridiculousness. So it is important that these bills are introduced, that they're talked about, which is why we have civic media. It's why we have Up North News, is to say, look, a lot of mainstream media sites are simply not talking about these kinds of things, and you deserve to know what these legislators are introducing and what the significance would be. And the last thing, Kelda, would be that this is actually standing up for a position and not some kind of a move toward the mushy middle, which I know a lot of Democrats get pinged on. This is not just, well, we'll keep these restrictions, but not these. It's no, this is a right is a right.
Absolutely. And, you know, when we see in other states and even in Wisconsin after Dobbs, women being turned away from hospital emergency rooms, women being forced to bleed out and go septic in a Walmart parking lot, that is a nightmare. And the more people see of the anti-choice hellscape that these Republican extremists want to create for us, the less they want of it. And I think it's really important that, you know, people will vote for elected officials even if they don't agree with every single thing that person believes in. Because diverse country, right? We're never going to agree 100% on anything. But they want politicians who are going to stand up for what they believe in.
There you go. Kelda Royce, thank you very much. Appreciate it. We'll talk again real soon. All right. I'm Pat Kreitlow, reminding you that it's all about every one of those words in our national promise, liberty and justice for all. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Oh my, these three-hour shows are busy ones. Here's what we've got tomorrow. Dan Schaefer starts a regular stint with us to talk more about stories to watch for in Wisconsin politics this week. Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich will talk about what Democrats need to do differently to win in 2026. On Wednesday, should Wisconsin utilities get an advantage when it comes to new transmission line projects? On Thursday, days of action around the country for May Day from people who are cheesed off about Trump's first 100 days. And on Friday, Brian Kennedy, mayor of Glendale, heads a national organization of local elected leaders encouraging others to run for office. Y'all should run for something at least once out there, school board, town board, whatever the case may be, and engage in a little public service. Jane Mattinara engages in public service every weekday morning from 9 to 11, along with Greg Bach, along with Sam over there, who's in Madison, making sure we actually stay on air, despite my internet outages here in Chippewa Falls. So, Jane, good morning. It is nice to see and hear you. How was your weekend?
Weekend was good, Pat Kreitlow, and I'm loving your three-hour show, by the way, because I listen all the way down, and it's great. Really, you're doing a great job. It sounds fantastic.
I'm now looking forward to the daily emails with your critiques and say, do this, do that differently, bring this person in.
No, you sound fantastic.
Oh, no, I thrive on the feedback. Not just the little trolls over here in the comment section, but, you know, some of the other stuff as well. So it'll be fun. I would imagine that among the topics on Matt and Aaron Air that you and Greg will be discussing deals with the arrest of that Milwaukee County judge on Friday.
We are. We're going to start off talking about Judge Dugan and the process moving on. And I also found, I think it's very interesting when I like to check the letters to the editor in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And there were a number of people checking in on both sides of this. And many people are on Judge Dugan's side saying that essentially she did nothing wrong. And it is important for us to stand up to the Trump administration, and then others saying, lock her up forever. And let's just, you know, do process, do schmasses, whatever. So we will be starting off with that. And then we did want to do a little break, and we've been meaning to talk about this for a couple of weeks. You know what it's like, Pat. The news cycle changes so rapidly and things happen so quickly. Sometimes things get bumped. And we did want to talk about this resignation at 60 Minutes and CBS. So we're going to be talking about that coming up around 10:20, and what the Trump administration, the effect it's having on journalism.
I tell you what Scott Pelley had to say, essentially spanking their new corporate parent on air like that was, just perfect. It was absolute, an absolute golden moment for journalism.
Yep.
And so I'm glad to hear that you are talking about that as well. And to come back to Judge Dugan's arrest for a moment, I'll say, I said it earlier in the hour, but I'm going to say it again. There are most definitely conditions where you and I and others would say, no, a judge cannot do that. That is a step too far. Directing them out a different door into the same public hallway, that ain't it. And if that was her way of saying to these guys, I don't need to make your job any easier. He's not coming out the main door. He's coming out that door. And they're still watching him go right into an elevator. I mean, again, there is a line that judge could have crossed. This ain't it.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's not like she gave him a disguise and then let him out a different secret hallway. And the other thing, too, and I find this a little bit disturbing in looking at some of the reporting on this, a lot of the stories lack the detail that he went out into the public hallway where there were ICE agents and the one that rode down in the elevator with him.
Yes.
That's kind of missing from some other reporting that I've seen. That seems like kind of an important detail.
Yeah. No, it doesn't. Lock her up forever. Lock her up and throw it. Lock them all up, Jane.
I know.
I'm just imagining the Greg Bach disguise. You know, she puts a beard on him and the hair and the glasses and says, now you go down.
They'll
as
never
a radio
recognize
host.
You. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. And then later on, we're going to be talking to Will Westmoreland. He joined us a couple of months ago. He has a channel on YouTube called The Back 40, and he is a farmer in southwestern Wisconsin. Essentially a blue dot surrounded by lots of red.
He's in Missouri, though.
Right? Oh, he's in Missouri, southwestern Missouri. Yeah. And what that's like and what he's hearing. He kind of went viral responding to a young farmer who was freaking out about the tariffs. And so we're going to have a little update with Will Westmoreland and what he's hearing from a farmers in his area.
So this is somebody in Missouri.
Yes, southwestern Missouri.
I said it because we had a guest, Jess Piper, on from Missouri some time ago now, but who started a group called Dirt Road Democrats to remind folks that there are still plenty of rural Democrats out there. They all feel like they're the only one.
Yep.
And so consequently, they're maybe not as active as they could be. And she's trying to help them all see, y'all are still out there. And it's okay to be public about what is not going right out there, thanks to these tariffs, lack of due process, everything else. Did you watch any of the draft since it was in Green Bay?
I never left my house. I was glued to my television. Okay, that's a blatant lie.
Sarcasm. Yeah.
I did not watch the draft.
That's okay. What did you?
I'm delighted that things went well for Green Bay and the city looked wonderful. And I hope people went away with great impressions of Green Bay and Wisconsin. That's fantastic. I don't understand the hype.
Well, you know, I do have to agree. I'm glad it was a big event, but especially once you got past the first round, you're literally watching 100,000 or more people standing in a parking lot as they read off names. Okay. I'm glad
exciting.
They had fun. Yes. I mean, even if as a TV show, I'm like, I'm not going to watch this. You know, at this point, I was watching just to see if Shador Sanders was ever going to be picked, but literally that was it for that. But again, a lot of people wanted to be there. Great economic impact. Glad it worked out well. So
me too.
For there's our scintillating sports talk for this hour. Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach are back for Mattenair on Air coming up next. Thank you, Jane.
Thanks, Pat.
Greg, we'll see you in the morning. Sam,
yes,
thanks as always. Appreciate it. And thanks again to all of today's guests, Kelderoys, Kristen Lyerly, Selena Heller, Joe Hovel, Mike Dombeck, Sean O'Malley, and all of you for being here this morning. I'm Pat Kreitlow, founding editor of Up North News, the Wisconsin home for Courier Newsroom, a pro-democracy newsroom, building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. Have a great day.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.